You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
All right, we're a few weeks into the year now, and I thought it could be good to discuss some of what we can look forward to in politics in the year of 2019. Politics lecturer from Massey University, Grant Duncan, joins me to discuss what this year could hold. Speaking with full academic freedom, Duncan starts by telling me how he'd sum up the year of politics in 2018.
Well, a lot happened. I think the really standout moment in my mind is the Prime Minister's pregnancy and her baby, honestly. I know that possibly sounds, like somehow not such a serious issue, but it actually is, because it just raised a whole lot of really important issues, I think, about where politics are heading. And plus the fact that it actually happened, you know, that for the first time we had a Prime Minister who, I mean, Prime Ministers take leave all the time, but we had a Prime Minister taking maternity leave, and we've never had that before. So constitutionally, that was kind of an interesting turn. So so I think Jacinda took front stage, obviously, for that reason and others as well. So the photograph, for instance, of her and Clark with the baby in the UN General Assembly, I think, was absolutely priceless. And those sorts of moments will go down in history. But in terms of, you know, more serious governmental performance, you know, I think they've done okay. They've done an average job. They've had the usual scandals and problems that a government has. Nothing unusual there, really. And they've performed okay. There's a lot of problems that they've got. They've got some ambitions that are hard to fulfil, particularly the Kiwi Build policy, which, even if you think is a good policy, is a pretty ambitious one. So they do, certainly do have some headwinds, but yeah, they're doing okay.
Mm. So Kiwi Build being one of the hot button subjects, are there any others that you can think of?
There's a whole lot of issues, particularly to do with pay in the public sector. Nurses, teachers, and so forth have been, I guess, seen the change of government as an opportunity to really press their case, and I think they've done that appropriately. I personally have some sympathy for those workforces, as I'm sure many of your listeners do. And so I think that is a difficulty. I think that, you know, that's just going to be an ongoing problem, because we're always going to be asking ourselves, you know, how much should we really be paying a nurse or a teacher given the value of the job that they do? Immigration is going to continue to be a problem. We're sort of still importing about a city per year in terms of net non-New Zealander immigration. And, you know, there's always the possibility that a lot of New Zealanders might start to return from Australia or elsewhere abroad, and that will affect numbers as well. And so the question, of course, really is, you know, how do we accommodate all of these lovely people who are coming to make our society more vibrant and our economy more buoyant? You know, we need to find the accommodation. They want to drive cars on the motorways just like I do. And so, yeah, that's an ongoing pressure for central government, also, of course, for local government too. And we have local government elections coming up this year. So those sorts of things, I think, will be significant. Mm. So those are just a couple of outstanding issues, I think.
Yeah, local government elections, they happen every 3 years. Do you have any kind of insights into what those could look like?
I mean, I don't see any highly, you know, unusual issues coming up, but you never know between now and October. Mostly, particularly, you know, I guess you have sort of a younger audience, and mostly younger people don't vote in local government elections. So I guess I'll put it out there, you know, please, guys, get out there and vote. It may sound really boring, but do it, because these are the people who are shaping the city that you live in. And so particularly, you know, looking at Auckland, for instance, we've got some massive issues to deal with, to do with, you know, wastewater, stormwater, you know, the obviously the housing again comes up, doesn't it? I mean, the pressure that people are feeling on rents has got a lot to do with the shortage of supply, hasn't it? And so shortage of supply has got a lot to do with the fact that Auckland ratepayers and voters are not letting the government build up, you know, to scale up and to build to higher levels, because people don't want their views blocked and things like this. So the young folk need to make their voices heard in local government, especially in Auckland, so that the councillors go, oh gosh, there was a bit of a uptick in, you know, voter turnout, and I should pay attention to that, rather than just paying attention to older people like myself who own property and who are ratepayers and are much, much, much more likely to vote.
And of course, with 2019 comes a new budget. For that, with 2018 and the issues we saw coming out, do you think we'll see more funding being allocated based on those issues?
I wouldn't hold my breath for a whole lot of new money this year, wait for the lottery scramble next year when it's election year. But what's going to be really interesting about this year's budget, of course, is the application of this new living standards framework. And that's something that I think people should really have a close look at, because a lot of you listeners, I imagine, kind of go, oh, the government's budget is effing boring. But actually, this is going to be an interesting one, because the government is going to start to be deliberately bringing right into the engine room of public finance some accountabilities around child poverty, natural capital, human capital, and those sorts of things. So, you know, we want to start being able to value the ecosystem services, for instance, of rivers and lakes, and start to ask ourselves, you know, what is that worth, and what is the cost to us of depreciating the value of those things by not looking after them properly? So, you know, budget time for many people, unless they're studying finance and economics, is a bit of a bore. But I really think that people should pay closer attention this time. I'm not saying it's going to be really, you know, anything really great or revolutionary. But I do think it's important that people do pay attention, because it's changing the way that government plans its budget every year, and that changes its priorities and the way that it thinks about its priorities in terms of the future of really important stuff. So I think that's going to be really worth watching.
And also, just in regards to the National Party, since I speak with them every week, I'm curious how you felt their first year in opposition was.
Yeah, well, they promised to be the opposition from hell, and they've been more of a nuisance for the government, I think, than actually giving them hell. And they kind of obviously gave themselves hell to some extent too, courtesy of Jamie Lee Ross. Now, they've done okay through all of that, though. I mean, they're actually doing very well in the polls, and I think the simple reason for that is that there's a lot of people out there who really do not like this government, and they want to get rid of it. And the easiest way to get rid of it at the moment is to vote for National, and so they've got nowhere else to go at the moment. And so that's why National's party polling is staying relatively buoyant around the mid-40s. And even though their leader, Simon Bridges, is simply not rating very highly at all, I think Simon's done an okay job, but yeah, he fails to impress, he fails to cut through, and he's made one or two sort of blunders. But, you know, you've got to hand it to him, he's doing a good job, and National generally is holding up pretty well. If their polling was starting to drop as well, then I would suggest that Simon Bridges' leadership would be really in peril. There is talk about maybe a National Party leadership change at the end of this year. Wait and see. As I say, I don't make predictions about that kind of thing, because I'm probably going to be wrong, you know. But that is one worth watching. There's this new right-wing party, the new Conservative Party, that you may have heard about. We just have to wait and see whether that makes any kind of impression on opinion polls. But in a funny way, National needs a kind of partner on the, you know, further to the right, because National being a broad church party that aspires to occupy the beehive, they have to play it safe around a lot of issues that actually a lot of right-wing people are not happy about, particularly, you know, issues to do with, say, the treaty or treatment of minorities, identity politics-type issues. And this new party will take a much harder line, which, of course, will rack up a lot of arguments with people on the left, but that's exactly what they want. Do you know what I mean? They're itching for a fight with the left. So message to people on the left, don't fight them. Don't give them oxygen. Leave them, ignore them. But that's exactly what they'll be itching for. So, you know, they'll use opportunities like the visit of Jordan Peterson and so forth to raise their profile and start a scrap with the left wing. And so they'll be looking to raise their profile this year and start registering, I dare say, on opinion polls even. We'll just have to wait and see whether they're successful or not, I think. But they kind of have a combination of that, you know, that hard-out anti-identity politics right-wing thing along with sort of libertarian individualism. So they're a kind of... Well, I think they want to replace the ACT Party.
Well, yeah, that's kind of what I wanted to ask. With that coming into play, how do you think the ACT Party will fare going forward?
Yes, well, they're pretty moribund now, really, you've got to say. I mean, if it weren't for a nod and a wink in the Epsom electorate, they wouldn't have the seat that they've got. So the question, really, for the next election, as far as ACT is concerned, is whether Simon Bridges will give the usual nod and wink to Epsom voters. And maybe, maybe not. I mean, they have to make their own calculations election by election about that one, I think. And, you know, look, if this Conservative Party looks like it's riding high, and I wouldn't be terribly confident about that. You know, I'm talking if it looks like they're getting to 5% or so, I wouldn't bet on it. But if, you know, it may just be time for National to cut the ACT Party loose and just let them go, because, you know, one seat doesn't really get you a lot. National did better out of that deal when they were also getting the support of Peter Dunn, the United Future leader. So they were getting two seats support for a very low party vote cost, so to speak. It was good bang for the buck for National. But, yeah, I think that ACT's utility to National is really declining. And if someone can replace National... but as I say, it's all wait and see. It's way too early to make predictions about that. Yeah.
Well, that's all my questions, but did you have anything else you wanted to add?
What are we looking forward to this year? Look, I think, yeah, generally, in general, I think, just to sort of sum up, it's this year is the new government's kind of middle year of probably their first term in office. Now, this was a three-party government that a lot of people were pretty sceptical about, you know, before it started, before the last election. They thought that this three-party arrangement would not last, that it would be a shambles. Now, there has been a little bit of shambolic stuff as things have settled in last year. So I guess the judgment call by the end of this year will be, okay, how is this three-party government actually performing? You know, have we stopped thinking about what a shambles it is and how it can't last very long? Do you see what I mean? Because I do think it'll last at least for another year into 2020. But as I say, a lot of people didn't think it could survive. And I don't hear people saying that anymore, right?
Yeah.
That's just gone off the narrative. And so that's the kind of interesting thing that I think we should stop and reflect on, because, as I say, there's been one or two little mishaps where, you know, Winston Peters has said one thing and that seems to appear to have differed from what the Prime Minister said. Well, big deal. You know, that's not ideal, I know. But on the other hand, it's relatively minor in the overall scheme of things. They're getting along. Now, obviously, people can make their judgments when it comes to the next election and later 2020. But this is their middle year, so if they can get through this year performing more or less like they did last year, then that's pretty solid. And they'll be then, you know, thinking through 2020, well, how do we crack the next election?
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.